Working for Steve Jobs was a tall order. The hirings, the firings, the swearing. This week, Techonomics host Jason Middleton speaks with a marketing expert and new author about her time with Steve and the marketing secret sauce recipe she developed over the years.
Hello and welcome back, and of course, thanks for listening. Next up is part two of my interview with Andy Cunningham. Andy is a marketing authority and thought leader. Her new book just dropped. It's entitled How to Get to Aha. It's a method partially inspired from her work with Steve Jobs on the Macintosh project. It's that aha moment that can take a company from good to great, or from being lost to being rediscovered. We pick up my discussion with Andy Cunningham with her defining some of her methodology, and then she tells us about her time with Steve at Apple. Here we go. You know, you mentioned white space right there. One of my favorite things to do, something I learned with you, plotting and researching and finding where that white space is, literally on an XY.
On a map, right.
Right. So some companies seem to come from pure market opportunity and solving a problem that exists.
Right.
Other companies come into existence because of that white space.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about that. What kind of research goes into finding that white space?
Thank you, and thank you for doing a lot of that research for us. But what happens when a company has a new product, you have to find out where it's going to fit in the landscape of all of the competitors of that product. And even if companies say to you, I don't have any competitors, they always have competitors, always. Even
sure.
if it's the old way of doing something, that's still a competitor. So you map out these competitors on an XY axis. You figure out what is the most important X-axis you want to be. Maybe it's price. Maybe it's connectability to other products. Whatever that X-axis is, you figure that out. Then you figure out one for the Y-axis. And then you start plotting the competitors on that map. And pretty soon, once you've got the map relatively filled up, you'll notice holes in the map. And that's where you want to see, does this company fit with that hole in the market? And so it's a little bit of a pushing and shoving between the market need and the company. And you try and you match them up to the closest possible white space on that map. And that gives them a place that no one else owns, which is important. And then the positioning process helps us create the language that describes the role and relevance in that white space. So that's what positioning is.
We're back to the yin-yang, right?
Yes,
we're back to
right.
the positioning. Then we can figure out the
then
branding.
Then we do the branding, right?
Right, okay.
Right, we figure out the role and relevance, and then we say, now, why is that role in the marketplace compelling to me as a human?
Right.
Does it make me feel safe? Does it give me peace of mind? Does it make me happy? What is the emotion associated with that position? We mush those together into the identity of the company.
It's marvelous to see happen. Let's talk about your business for a second.
Okay.
Not your business specifically. Let's talk about marketing, period.
Okay.
Okay. It's a very competitive space. What, during your career, have you noticed from new clients seems to be a persistent challenge? We talked a little bit about startups bringing marketing in earlier, but they seem resistant to that idea. Is there something more universal about onboarding a client that you've learned?
Well, I would have to say, and we touched on this a little bit, but what most clients do is they hire the branding firm first. So they've hired the branding firm. They've already done the logo. They've already done the campaign idea. They've already done the tagline. They've already done the colors. And then they come to us and they say, but how do we talk about ourselves? And you can't. There's not enough research and rigor in that creative work for us to figure out how to do the positioning. We have to kind of start over.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't match up with the designs that they've created. Like if we work with a company that is a mother and we come up with their positioning statement after we go through all the six C's, and maybe we'll cover that later, but
sure.
it's a pretty rigorous process going through this positioning. We figure out what their role and relevance is. And if they happen to be a mother and their role is to provide security, let's say it's a security company like BlackBerry, you want the emotion to be something like peace of mind or safety or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the logo and the tagline and the creative work doesn't reflect that, doesn't reflect peace of mind or security or safety or motherhood, if you will,
mm-hmm.
you've got a design that doesn't match. You've got an emotion that doesn't match the position. And that happens all the time. But most new CMOs, when they get a job, they really like to do a rebranding because they can show the board within 60 days that they've created a new logo, a new tagline. This is our new company. And boards love that, right? Because,
yeah.
Oh, cool, we're this and we're that and we're new. And
right.
It's very enticing and very sexy.
I'm more analytical, I guess. I'm sure that happened a lot. But I have to say that I came in at the tail end of your experience with BlackBerry, and the phrase that you marketed and came up with and created, the enterprise of things, is almost vernacular now.
Yes, we were very fortunate, I think, to have really picked out that white space on the map. And the white space is, in BlackBerry's case, the Internet of Things exists. Everybody knows what that is.
Right.
But there are companies that build the products that live in the Internet of Things. So let's say it's a toaster company or a car company or a refrigerator company. And those companies have pieces, they have parts to those products, and they have manufacturing of those products, and they have to ship those products from wherever they're made to warehouses, and then they go from the warehouses to the retail store, and then they go from the retail store to the consumer. Well, guess what's on each one of those transport situations? Mm-hmm. There's a tracker or a sensor or a monitor that tells you where that part is, where it's going, and guess what those sensors are attached to? The Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what we call the Enterprise of Things. It's that entire connection of all of the things that those companies that are building those products are connected to the Internet before the product actually gets into your home and becomes the smart toaster or the smart car.
I don't know how much you want to get into this because I don't want to give away your book. I want people to buy the book and read the book. But you mentioned the six C's in a previous.
Right.
Do you want to circle back on that?
Sure, sure.
Okay, let's just take a top level look at the six C's, kind of your methodology.
Right. So the first C is core, which is the DNA. And that's really what the book is primarily about. And that is the different thing that I bring to the marketing world is this companies have DNA thing. So that's your core. The second C is what category are you in? This is a strategic decision. You're either in a new category, an existing category, or you're redefining something about a category. So you have to understand that. Third thing is community. What is the community that you're selling into? Sure, there's potential customers, but think about all those people that influence the customers. Think about the influencer cycle of those customers, and those people have to be marketed to as well. Then there is competition. You've got to really understand your competition, and you've got to understand how they position themselves so you can position yourself differently and credibly. And then there is context. It's very important in today's world that whatever it is that you're marketing, that you understand the context that you're launching that into. What also is important is robotics and artificial intelligence and the cloud. Things that are less important today, personal computing. No one talks about that anymore. No one talks really about mobile anymore. So you don't want to be launching a product using a context from a previous generation. Mm-hmm. You want to use the context of this generation. And the last C is what we call criteria, which is a little bit of an orange and the others are apples. But criteria is we just ask our clients to please give us a list of four or five or six things you want that positioning statement to accomplish so that when we finish the exercise, we know we've hit it on the head.
Deliverables from the client. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because that's an implied contract.
That's right. In other words, how do you succeed? How do we succeed?
Right. And it's all right there in the research. By the end of it, everybody stands up and claps, has been my experience. I love working with a pro because you just keep giving me the follow-up questions. You mentioned apples and oranges.
Right. We're going to talk about apples.
You know what's next? You have the privilege or something like that of having been hired and fired by Steve Jobs.
Yes, several times.
Several times,
yes.
Right. I was going to ask how many. I'm not sure.
I think it was five. Frankly, I lost count.
He just seemed to be very push-pull.
Emotional, and he wanted things done exactly the way he wanted them done. And if for any reason he didn't feel it was meeting his expectations, he would get you off of his team. So that's why it was such an honor to be on his team in the first place, because you knew you were adding value to a guy that's changing the world. And God, what feels better than that? That's an amazing feeling. But if you made a mistake or he didn't like what you did, a lot of times he would just get rid of you. In my case, he did that a few times, but then he kept bringing me back.
Right.
So I thought, well, maybe there is something. Maybe I'm adding value here somehow.
Were there any takeaways from that experience? It's really kind of almost hard to remember what Apple was at the time. Did you have any takeaways from that experience with Steve and with Apple, more importantly, really, that you've been able to pull forward in through the rest of your career?
Yes. So actually, Steve was actually, I think, the catalyst for me coming up with this whole DNA model in the first place.
Interesting.
He actually said to me, I asked him once very early on when we were doing the Macintosh stuff, I said, so what is it you're trying to accomplish with this product? When it reaches a consumer, what is it you're looking?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I want people to feel that there's a mother in every box. I want them to open this box, and I want what to come out is I want them to feel completely taken care of, like your mother takes care of you, and I don't want you to have to feel like you have to read the manual or you have to do any work at all to make this work. And so that mother in a box kept coming back to me all the time. So when I developed this methodology, that's why I ended up calling them mothers, because I wanted to capture that feeling that he had about a mother in a box. And it's a very different emotion. Now, interestingly enough, Apple was never a mother company,
right?
Even though he wanted the product to have that feeling. It was really always a missionary company. Steve wanted to change the world. I mean, he said it 100 times a day, and that's what you were doing if you worked for him. But since Steve passed away, the company has now in the hands of Tim Cook, as you point out, who is a wonderful operations person. But what's happening is it's moving from being a missionary to being a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's moving from changing the world to building great products. And unfortunately, they've had some product issues lately.
Mm-hmm.
And so until they get that figured out, they're going to be a mechanic in trouble.
Right.
So I know they will do this because he's a great operations person, but they need to pay attention to product like 1,000 times more than even they did when Steve was running it.
So good to see you again. Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Really good to see you, Jason.
That was Andy Cunningham and the second part of our chat about her new book, How to Get to AHA. It's marketing expertise that's consumable and entertaining for experts and novices alike. There are links to Andy's book and all of the links we use for sourcing and our podcasts at kgoradio.com/techonomics. Just look for the story that goes with this week's show. Coming up next, a deep data dive with Adobe. This time, it's how drivers and passengers use their cars as rolling entertainment centers. More on car tech is coming up next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please come on back.